Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Just briefly want to talk to you, and this will almost be more of a teaching than a preaching. Meaning I want to break down tonight just some aspects of what it means to wait on God. What it means to wait on God. And so I've titled the message, Wanting and Waiting, all right? Wanting and waiting, because oftentimes when we're in life, we can find ourselves in that place where we think, man, it'd be great if this happened in my life, and then we're waiting. Or man, I really want that, and then we're waiting, wanting and waiting. I have four kids now, it's happened. The baby has been born, all right? So, yes, praise the Lord. Speaking of waiting, we were glad when she came. The last week of the pregnancy was a little bit more, we went in on a Monday in the middle of the night because Beth couldn't feel the baby move, and we were really concerned about that. So went to the hospital in the middle of the night, and we're being monitored and got an ultrasound, and then we were there most of the day. The next day, I think that was Sunday night, actually, between conferences, so awesome, you know. And so then we were there, and then turned out everything was okay, which is awesome. And then we scheduled an induction for that Wednesday to have the baby, and it turned out that lots of people were having babies on Wednesday, so they canceled all the inductions. And so Beth was like, I just want to get this baby out, you know? And so then we ended up going in on Saturday, which is the last day of the Design for Life conference number 2. And baby came, and it was awesome. So thank you if you prayed for us. We appreciate that. And I'll tell you, four kids is different. It's like, it's just different. It makes you feel like there's this new levels of chaos in the house. Like, there's kids everywhere. Like, you look under, like, a cushion, you're like, oh, there's a child. And then you put the cushion back down. But for real. It's really cool. She's honestly sleeping really well. We went to bed at, like, 10 o'clock and then woke up again at 1:30. And I said, babe, are you doing okay? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay. And went back to sleep. And then again at 4, I may have changed a diaper somewhere in there. When it's baby time, you're like sleepwalking, you know, everywhere you go. But it's been great. She's really been doing well. And so just a little update on Elena Ann. I should have had a picture. It would have been awesome. She's a baby. All right, just picture a baby. That's what she looks like. I mean, for real, for real. So, oh man, we're already off to a great start. So when it comes to kids, I don't know if kids just bring a new stage in life. And when we first got married, Beth and I, we've been married for 10 years on October 14th, 10-year anniversary, which is awesome. And when we first got married, we had a 19-inch TV VCR combo that we sat in a hutch that we had. And so it was like this huge armoire. You know, TV hutches, they're like, you can find them for Craigslist for like 50 cents, you know, because nobody uses them anymore. But we had this 19-inch TV VCR and a TV hutch. And one of my dreams, like, just I think since the first day I got married, was to have I wanted a big screen TV with surround sound. I mean, anybody, that's just the cool thing, all right? Where, you know, when you're watching the spaceship, you feel like you're in the spaceship. And so I really, honestly, really wanted that. And so I married somebody who hates loud noises. Beth, like, is the anti-sound girl. Anytime I'm, like, turning it up, you know, she's like, hey, can you turn that down? And when you first get married, you're like, really, you know? And then you make it a deal. Well, now that I've been married 10 years, I'm like, I don't even watch it with sound anymore. I just read their lips. It's like, you know, you're like, it's not worth it. It's all right, it's all good. But I'm kind of spoiling the end of the story. But anyway, so then we get a 30-inch. And man, I thought 30 inches. I was like, we have a 30-inch. When you go from 19 to 30, that's like double real estate. So it was awesome. And then finally, I got a big screen TV, and then for Christmas, I got surround sound. And that was right. It coincided with the birth of our second child, which if you've been coming to James River for any amount of time, you may have heard me talk about Everett. He's all passion, you know? So he's either laughing or like crying, but never anywhere in between. And so when he was born, it was a revelation about kids and what parenting meant, but it also coincided with a big screen and surround sound, which at that time was the priority in my life, all right? So I was like, yeah, we have a baby, but I got surround sound, people, you know? So anyway, I remember like the first movie, you know, the first movie experience, and I'm like on the couch and I'm excited and I got it all set up and like you press play. And if you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like the minute, everything's great. Like birds are chirping, kids are going down, they're happy, it's awesome. The minute you press play, it's like the world begins to burn, you know? Like you're like, I don't think I've watched a whole movie since I've had kids like nonstop, dead serious. So anyway, I remember pressing play and like we start going and you hear him start crying, you know? And you're like, oh man, okay. So you get up and you like go and you're like checking on him and like getting so like frustrated that I couldn't even make it through. Like I'd go 10 more minutes, stop, 10 more minutes, stop. And I eventually made a foam wall for the hallway that goes to their rooms. You know, like I went to Lowe's and bought a bunch of foam and then like ghetto rigged it together and stuck it in the wall, which it didn't work. And so, the whole point of the story is now the surround sound is like in the garage and I don't ever watch movies anymore. So, but I'll tell you, it's funny and it really does illustrate a point that I think is valuable when we're talking about waiting on God, that it's interesting at certain points in our life, we can see something that we feel is very valuable, that we think we really want, that we even think could change our life. And as we grow and mature and kind of get in different stages of life, we can look back on certain wants. Have you ever looked back on a want and you're like, man, that's not even on the radar anymore because I've changed or circumstances have changed. And our wants, things that we thought were valuable, things that we thought we needed, we no longer need anymore. Or we don't want anymore. And I think that's really important to think about when it comes to waiting on God. Because what we're talking about when we say that has changed for us is we're talking about perspective. We're talking about, oh man, I used to see it this way, but now I see it way differently. And when it comes to perspective, there's nobody on this planet that has perspective like the God of the universe, all right? God has been watching you, has been watching people, and knows everything about you. He knows everything about what you want right now. He knows everything about what you need right now. And he has the ultimate perspective. And so when we come to him with what we need or what we want, it's important, and we can trust him when it comes to that, knowing that he has our best interest in mind. But if we can get his perspective, then it can keep us from making mistakes. It can keep us from going the wrong direction. It can keep us and shift our desires towards things that will be more beneficial for our relationship with him and for our life and for building his kingdom. That perspective, and that perspective comes and is available to us through waiting on God. So, maybe you're in here tonight, and to be honest, you're in a situation, and if you read the Psalms, when David talks about waiting on God, oftentimes you can tell he's in a situation that seems a little bit out of his control. It'd be almost like he's in a situation at work, or you're in a situation at work, and you have somebody that's kind of against you, or there's a situation where, man, it's just not going well for you and it's out of your control, and you're like, God, why aren't you working on this situation? Maybe you're in a situation where you're like, man, I think this is of God, and I think that would be a good thing for me, and I really, really, really want that to happen in my life, but it doesn't seem to be happening, and it's requiring really that you have two options in that moment. Honestly, you can either get anxious or you can trust and wait on God. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but trusting and waiting on God is not passive, it's active. Meaning that it's not something that you go, well, if the Lord wants it, you know, he'll do what he wants to do, and that is not waiting on God. That is not, honestly, a biblical way to interact with God, to say, you know what, it is what it is, and if God wants it, he'll make it happen. Waiting on God has an active component to it. But if you don't wait on him, you're going to find yourself making decisions that you shouldn't have made. You're going to find yourself living in anxiety that you shouldn't be living in, because you're going to be trying to make things happen on your own, because you're that timing, that waiting. I mean, have you ever waited for something, even if it's not like this, like we're talking about big life things, but it's like little, it can create anxiety in you. How much more the things in life that you're like, man, I think I really need this. How much more that can create an anxiety in us if we're not careful and not waiting on him. So we're gonna just briefly look at a verse in Psalm 62. We'll also look a little bit in Psalm 25. There's some great psalms. I think Psalm 130 is about waiting on God. Some great scriptures in the Bible about waiting on God, but we're going to focus on just a couple. And in Psalm 62, verse 5, and I love how the King James Version puts it, but we'll put two different versions on the screen. This is the King James. My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. My soul, wait thou upon God. David's in a moment where he has things in his life where he really needs God to move, and he really needs something to happen, but he's saying, I'm not going to make it happen, because I'm not gonna set my hope, I'm not gonna set my expectation, I'm not gonna set my desire on what I can do or how I can see my way out of this. I'm gonna set my expectation on him. And he begins to talk to himself and say, you know what, soul? Maybe some of you need to do that tonight. You need to talk to yourself, no matter how crazy you're gonna look when you do it. You need to say to yourself, you know what, soul? Wait thou upon God, for your expectation comes from him. And in that waiting, things begin to happen in us. And we're just going to talk about a few. The first one is waiting on God quiets our soul. Waiting on God quiets our soul. If you need something from God, wait on him. But in waiting on him, allow your soul to get quiet enough to hear what he's actually doing. Sometimes we can be praying for something, we get so frustrated that we're not getting the answer that we need. And rather than saying, you know what, I wonder what God's doing in this, or I need to hear from God in this, we just get anxious and frustrated about it. And so we start trying to think of our own thing. But maybe God's making you wait so you quiet your soul to listen. There's something awesome about a quiet soul. You know, even as you talk about it, I think, don't we all want that? You know, that quiet soul? But you have to fight to have a quiet soul. That's not something, you know, naturally, you know, the enemy and your flesh and all of those things that come along with, and the situation probably itself that you're thinking about right now when it comes to waiting on God, it's the opposite. It's going to put you in the opposite place of a quiet soul. So you're going to have to do things intentionally to quiet your soul as you wait on God. To say, God, I'm going to intentionally wait on you in this. And as I'm waiting on for you, I'm going to try to listen and see what you're doing in this. I would really encourage you in your waiting on God to say, you know what, I'm going to take some time to set aside things in my life that cause me not to have a quiet soul. one of the things I really recommend, and I've done it a few times, and I honestly, it really helps, but it's just like fasting media. And I know, like, for some of you, you're like Facebooking right now, and you're like tweeting like something I said, or, you know, taking a picture of yourself and putting it online. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm just having fun with you. But you're on social media a lot. And social media is not a bad thing. It's not the devil, and it's a great tool. But sometimes social media can be like, it fills all that empty space. Like any second that we have, we go on social media. Any second that we have, we turn on the TV. Any second that we have, we turn on the radio. Any second that we have, we fill the space. Because that quietness bubbles up things in our heart that we're anxious about, or that we need God's help with, or that we don't want to think about. It just makes us antsy, or it's a habit of just noise. I just want to encourage you, wait on God and take seasons, take time. It doesn't have to be forever, but just take time to quiet your soul. To say, God, I'm going to set things aside. I'm going to set the noise aside for a second. Maybe a day. But I'll tell you, it's hard. Like, when I've done that, like, you get in the car and you like go to turn on the radio, you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then you're like driving, you know, and you're like, yeah. Just love to listen to something right now. That's what I'd want to do. And then you're like, the second that I decide I'm going to do that, it's like, I can think of like 10 movies I want to watch, you know? It's like, so I want to watch those movies. Can't do that either. You know, then you go to your phone. Dead serious. You go to your phone and you like go to open social media and you're like, uh-huh. Just click on my calendar again and just look at that. There's my calendar. Yep. Same thing that I saw last time. All right, cool. Well, click. My wife loves it, by the way. So just husbands, if you want some points, just fast your phone. It's brilliant. But I just want to encourage you. That's what it's like, but what does it force you to do? So you're in the car and then you're tapping and you're like, it's just me and you, God. This is cool. But then you start to talk to God and you start to just be, you can hear. You're not full. And so you can hear what he has to say, and that's really awesome. And he begins to talk to you about things in your life or the situation that you're facing because you said, this is priority to me. My relationship with you is not one-sided. It's not what I want to do. It's not how I think it should be done. It's about what you want. But if I'm going to know what you want, I'm going to have to quiet my soul. So waiting on God quiets our soul. Waiting on God causes submission. It causes us to submit to what God's doing in the situation in our life, to what God might desire for us. It causes us to recognize that what we think or what we think we need or what we think we want may not be what God thinks we need. Or may not be a want that God wants us to have. And as we wait on him, he changes our heart. He changes our desires. And he that's a really beautiful thing because, you know, oftentimes it's not about you going, okay, I'm just not going to want that. I'm not going to need that. I'm not going to want that. I know I don't want that. I don't want it. It's not like that. It's not you telling yourself. It's you getting in the presence of the Lord and allowing him to do that part for you. But it requires a submission on our part to say, God, I'm here. I'm not going to force this, God. I'm not going to try to make it happen on my own. And it, honestly, God, I really want it, or I really think I need it, and it's really hard right now. But God, I'm open to whatever you have for me. And I'm willing to go without if that's what your heart is for me, because I know you're good. But that's a submission. That's tough. But when you get in God's presence and you wait on the Lord, he either changes your heart or that submission is still there and he answers in his timing, in his way. But the submission that God's brought out of that waiting is a beautiful thing in your life. So it's not about, nope, God's going to withhold that. So you learn to submit, or, you know, God so God doesn't want you to have what you need. It's about, sometimes he's gonna give it to you and you're gonna wait. Sometimes you're gonna wait and he's not gonna give it to you. And if you're submitted to him, it doesn't really matter. Because you know he's gonna take care of it, but your submission is like, it's good. And God, I'm open to whatever you have. You know, you think of the Lord's Prayer, your will be done. That submission to what God has for your life is, it's like a, it's a fragrant humility. As in, we talked about Psalm 25 just a second ago at the beginning. I want to look at it real quick because I want you to hear the prayer where David's talking about waiting on God. It's not that he doesn't have a problem. It's not that he doesn't need help. But listen to how he prays. It says, "Indeed, none who wait for you shall ever be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous." I love that, wantonly treacherous. "Make me to know your ways." So God, I need something from you, and God, I'm waiting on you, but this is what I ask that you do in me, God. Help me to know what you're doing. Help me to know how you would handle this. Help me to honor you and to learn about you, God. Teach me your paths, God. Help me to walk through this time of waiting like you would walk, God. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you're the God of my salvation. I wait for you all day long. Do you hear the submission in that prayer? That it's a beautiful thing. It's not him saying, "God, I need this, and until I get it, God, then we're not, that's all you're gonna hear from me about, God. That's all you're gonna hear from me is I need that, and until I get it, it's all you're gonna hear." No, he's gonna say, "Hey, God, I need this, and I'm willing to wait on you to find out your will. And in that time of waiting, teach me, God. Teach me, God. Help me to be submissive. Teach me your ways. Teach me what your will is." And it's a beautiful thing. Causes submission. Number three, waiting on God increases our trust in him. It builds trust. It builds our faith. Because waiting and trust in the Bible is often, and especially in the Psalms, is often translated, some translate it waiting, some translate it trusting. It's kind of interchangeable. Because that idea of waiting is, you're saying, "God, I'll wait on you, and I know if I'm waiting on you, you're gonna do something." If you're waiting for God, then you trust that he's going to act. It may not be in the way you think, but it may be. Either way, you're willing to wait till he does what he wants to do and the way he wants to do it, and that requires a trust in him. I want to put a scripture on the screen that illustrates this. It's from Psalm 25 again. It says, "Indeed, none who wait on you or for you shall be put to shame." And then in the NLT, it translates it this way. It says, "No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced." That waiting and that trusting, that waiting, that trusting. You know, some of you, you're like, "God, increase my faith." I think that's an awesome prayer to pray. Believers should be faith-filled people that believe God in any situation. And no matter if they're walking through the fire or they're on the mountaintop, they believe God and they have a faith-filled confession about how God's gonna work in their life, who God is and what God does. But I'm telling you what, if you say, "God, increase my faith," it's a good prayer. But oftentimes the increasing of faith requires that you walk through a season of waiting. Like the increasing of faith requires that you go through a trial or you go through a situation where God's gonna say, I know this is hard right now and I know you're talking to me about it, but I need you to wait. I need you to wait. And you're like, "Really, God? Like, right now?" "Yeah, wait." And you're like, "Can I go now?" "No, wait." "Okay, God, I trust you." But until you've walked through that, you know, it's what really builds trust in you. Otherwise, trusting God is just something that you know about rather than that you know for yourself because you haven't been put in a situation where you had to trust God, where you had to have faith, even though you didn't see how God was going to work it out, even though you didn't know if he was going to work it out, you knew who God is, and so you said, "I trust you and I'll wait on you," and it builds that trust. Number four, waiting on God is active, it's not passive. You hear it in David's words in this psalm that my soul waits for God alone, for my expectation is from him. This isn't somebody that's sitting back and saying, you know, if, maybe, I don't know how, but if God wants to, he will. But it's a leaning in and saying, God, I am going to wait for you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to be looking at you. You know, one psalm says, I think it's Psalm 130. It says, as a watchman waits, it says, I'm going to wait. My soul waits for God alone as the watchman waits for the morning. So it's almost a person that's staying up all night and they're guarding and they're just like, oh man, if it was morning, that'd be awesome. And they're waiting for the sun to just crack the sky. And they're saying that's how your soul waits for God. That's what waiting biblically for God looks like. And so oftentimes, and I just really want to encourage you tonight that if you're in a situation, you know, you think of people that are walking through singleness and you just, man, I just don't want to be single anymore. And you can often be like waiting like that to not be single. All right, just know I'm going to find them around the next corner. It's going to be awesome. But the Bible says, don't wait for that like that. The Bible says, wait for God. God, I know you're going to do something. God, I know you're going to help me. God, I know you're with me. God, I know you're going to pour life into me. God, I wait for you with expectation to do whatever you want to do. And I'm okay with whatever that looks like. And I'm okay if I don't get the job that I wanted. And I'm okay if it doesn't work out here the way I want it to work out. I'm okay with that. My expectation isn't on that. My expectation's on you. And you have to be in that place where you're like, God, I just want to be where you're at. I want to lean in to what you have. I want to lean in. And that's the final thing, that as we wait on God, it creates a faith-filled expectation in us. That Psalm 25, those who wait for you are never put to shame. That as we lean into God and as we lean into his will, you're never going to be put to shame by that. We serve a big God with a big will who's able. God wants to work in your life. He wants to work in my life. He wants to do more than we can ask, imagine, or think. And so don't shrink your thinking by not looking to him and saying, oh man, if this was just figured out, or if this was just solved, wait on him. Say, God, I just want to be where you're at. And I know in being where you're at, you are good and you do good. Those who wait for you are never put to shame. And I'm just going to be patient and wait on you and be in your presence, God. And if, God, you want to keep me here for a long time, I'm okay with that, God. Is that where you're at tonight? Is that where you're at with the thing you're waiting for, that patience, that submission? When you get there, it's awesome. When you get there, it's good. When you get there, you'll be glad that God had you wait. I know it doesn't feel like that right now, but when you get there, you'll see, oh man, those who wait for you are never put to shame. Those who wait for you are never disappointed. Because God, in waiting for you, I've found you. And waiting for you, I've tasted and seen that you're good. And waiting for you, I've come to know you in a way that's deeper. And so, I just hope that verse, just let it, maybe paste it on your mirror, paste it in your car as you're not listening to the radio. Paste it on your Bible. And say, you know what? My expectation is going to come from you, and I'm going to have an expectation of the goodness of God. I'm going to have an expectation of the grace of God. And whether that goodness comes in the form of God, a deeper relationship with you, or whether that comes in the form of answered prayer, because sometimes God just has us wait on him, and then he answers our prayer, and we see that it was him who worked it out and not us who worked it out, and he gets the glory for it. But in all of that, we find the rich relationship with him that comes out of the submission of waiting. So tonight, I just want to give us an opportunity to do that, but I want to encourage you, don't be passive about it. You know what? If you lean into God, you won't be disappointed. If you say, God, I want all that you have for me, And that means, God, if I'm waiting, I'm going to get into your presence. I'm going to find out what you're doing. God's friendship is for God worshipers. That he'll give you friendship if you just lean in. Part of leaning in is saying, if there's an opportunity, I'm taking it. And I'm going to wait on you, God, and I'm going to see what you're going to do.